there in Jackson for a guy coming off Tommy John and a single A player, and it felt to me like it was almost exclusively about the money. Atlanta was willing to take on the money. The Giants didn't have to pay another cent to these guys, and whatever they got back, it might be something. We won't know for a while. I mean, Tyler Matzek is a guy coming off of Tommy John, and you got a single A player as well, so maybe down the road this will be a trade that you look at and think that it's more than about money. But for right now, this one felt exclusively about the money.
Yeah, but for the Braves, they didn't have to do any background checks.
Right, because they know these guys.
They know exactly. These guys. They wouldn't ask Soler to be back if he wasn't a good teammate. They wouldn't have. If he was a cancer or somebody that, oh my God, I don't care if he hits home runs, dude. He's going to disrupt everything we got going here that's good. This was a no-brainer for them. These were two champions that they brought back into a championship clubhouse in a championship atmosphere. And I'm sure they feel like, even though with the Albies injury and the Acuna injury and the Fried injury,
Strider,
that they can still, they feel like they can still, if they get into October, they have the recipe, the coaching staff and the makeup and the mentality to win another one.
I think everything that you're laying out is entirely fair. And obviously you have the perspective of being a former player and being in clubhouses and talking to other players and knowing, you know, things that organizations do that makes players respect them. And I think a lot of players keep in mind and realize what the Giants have done here, which is trade away three veterans to quality places. Like all three of those guys are going to better places than they currently were at. Alex Cobb now has a chance to win a division. He's going to win a division with the Cleveland Guardians, has a chance to maybe win a World Series with the Guardians, and Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson have a chance to compete for a postseason spot. They're very likely going to make the postseason. Maybe they won't win their division. Probably not. The Phillies are dominating. But they have a chance to claim a wild card spot and go deeper into the playoffs. And that's all great. And Luke Jackson, by all accounts, a great teammate and a really good person. And don't have a negative word to say about Jorge Soler, but don't know exactly what he was like behind the scenes. Maybe his desire to hit leadoff and not be an RBI guy as he was paid was enough to frustrate the Giants and say, well, you're not worth our $14 million a year. But FP, I think it's kind of simple. I mean, at a certain point, you're a Giants team who doesn't really have the ability to hang around and just employ good teammates and good professionals. You got to employ good baseball players.
Agreed.
And this team has been mediocre for so long that you don't have the ability to just be like, well, at least he's a good guy. You got to go out and you got to put the best team as you possibly can on the field. And I guess maybe where we differ is I feel like the best team on the field, although his struggles early in the season for me still might include Jorge Soler, but now you don't have that opportunity.
Yeah, I'll disagree in the sense that Jorge Soler is not a leadoff hitter. And if that's where he felt comfortable and that's where he wanted to hit, and you put him third and he's not comfortable there, or fourth and he's not comfortable there, then he has no value to my team. He's just not a leadoff hitter. Like that's he clogs up the bases. He's not fast. He's not slow either, but he's not fast. So where's the value in having a 40 home run guy that can't run and strikes out more than anybody on the team leading the game off?
I mean, you don't really have another leadoff hitter anyway.
You do.
I mean, when asked about it earlier in the season, Bob Melvin was asked, why is Jorge Soler leading off? And he said, well, someone's got to.
Yeah, because you lost your leadoff hitter to a season-ending injury.
That's unfortunate. But like you guys were talking during the crossover about Tyler Fitzgerald hitting leadoff, and while he's probably a little bit more of a prototypical leadoff guy, generally speaking, and FP, you could speak to this, hitting leadoff for a young guy is a really difficult thing to do. It's hard. It's not easy.
And Soler, with his best numbers across all positions in the order, he was .866 OPS as a leadoff hitter. And his batting average is .279, which was second highest to when he batted fifth. So it seemed like he was more productive. I know what you're saying about clogging the bases and not a real speed guy, but this team doesn't do speed anyway. So
yeah.
I can kind of defend it to the extent that Soler, when he was leading off, was the best hitter that he had been in any other spot in the lineup. And you didn't have another leadoff hitter, so.
But I don't think Giants fans ever wrap their arms around Jorge Soler.
Agreed. And it's because most of his home runs were solo home runs in largely meaningless spots. I don't remember a lot of big home runs like, oh, Soler with two runners aboard to take a 4-2 game and make it 5-4. A lot of his home runs were afterthought home runs.
You were down by 10 or up by 10 already sure. when he hit his home runs.
That's why I don't think they got worse by getting rid of him. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. I'm just looking at this from a baseball standpoint. And if I have to evaluate, he had some of the most head-scratching at-bats this year I ever saw. Like in big situations, three-pitch Sias on sliders that were like the one they threw Javi Baez yesterday where they set up in the first base dugout and he swung at it. And I'm like you just swung and missed at a slider that was in the left-handed batter's box. Guess what you're getting? And then you swing at the second one wildly. Guess what you're getting? And there was no adjustments made. And so there was a lot of times with runners in scoring position in big situations where his mind just turned off. It seemed, I don't know, and he was just swinging. So if you signed a guy to drive in runs and to be a middle of the order guy and to be a presence in the middle of the order and he wants to lead off, or I was told, and I don't even know if this is true, that he felt more comfortable leading off. That's not why I signed him. So if I can get out from a 3-year deal on a guy that just is going to be my leadoff hitter. What happens when Jung-Hoo Lee comes back next year? And hey, bro, you got to hit third. You got to hit fourth. Well, I don't feel comfortable there. And I'm going to swing at 3 sliders in the dirt with the bases loaded every time.
He was terrible hitting fourth this year.
Give me the numbers. I mean, I'm just
539 OPS in 11 games. 45 at-bats hitting fourth. And he had no home runs. He was 9-for-40. Hitting cleanup.
I'm not crushing the guy.
I'm just saying the numbers.
I can understand why they did this move. This makes sense to me.
I mean, where has he hit the majority of his career? It's probably been in the middle part of the order, right? He hasn't had an issue with it before. Why does he have an issue with it now? Potentially.
I don't know.
This year he led off more than any of the spot, and second on his list was hitting sixth. And he did pretty well batting sixth with a 772 OPS and the most home runs with 4.
And when they first put him up there, he did jumpstart the offense, or his presence right out of the gate. If I'm a starting pitcher and I got a guy that can hit the ball 700 feet, I got to have my A stuff. And maybe you get like red line pitches out of a starting pitcher in the first inning with his first 6 or 7 pitches, or 3 in some cases. Maybe I'm too old school, but I want my leadoff guy to see pitches. I want him to be a presence on the base pass. I want the pitcher to think about him on first and maybe not so much the hitter. And had divided attention and hang a 2-2 slider to my second place or third place hitter.
Yeah, second is where he's batted the most in his career. He's had 963 plate appearances batting second, 52 home runs batting second, and then fourth, and then fifth in the order. Leadoff is something that's kind of been new for him, which makes it even a little bit more curious. Like all of a sudden now you want to be more comfortable batting leadoff, and maybe it's because the team didn't have a leadoff hitter. And I also do think that it might be a little bit of a marching order from upstairs, because I think about Bob Melvin, and I don't know Bob super well, but I've had a chance to talk to him over the course of 15 years since he's been with the A's and in and out. And I don't look at Bob Melvin and have him think, yeah, Jorge Soler, you're the guy who I want leading off.
So, it doesn't seem like a normal Bob Melvin decision.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So whatever, that's done. The trade deadline is now 10 minutes away. Mm-hmm. And all of us refreshing Twitter with every sentence. Yeah. I talk, you guys refresh, yeah, you talk, I refresh.
A little bit of news.
It's kind of how this is going.
A couple of trades. Brian De La Cruz, outfielder from the Marlins, big power hitter, goes to the Pittsburgh Pirates. So the Pirates add a power hitting outfielder. That's Brian De La Cruz from Miami to Pittsburgh. And then another big one is, let's see here, the Baltimore Orioles are finalizing a deal to acquire outfielder Eloy Jimenez from Chicago White Sox.
Yeah.
That's a big name. The bigger Chicago White Sox potential trade piece outfielder is Luis Robert, but Eloy Jimenez does get traded to the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles have been busy. Of course,
Phillies
they're locked in a battle.
Phillies are acquiring left-hander Tanner Banks from the White Sox. Oh. So that's now happening.
The White Sox are just selling absolutely
everything. Little news right here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Grandy for Marty Lurie. Straight up. That's just on Twitter right now. Can you imagine if
I'm going to need a board op to be named later.
And a board op to be named later.
I like Marty. I like the host. I like the show. But, I mean, Grandy's
a
hot prospect.
That's a lopsided trade.
I think, I don't know.
It's a win-now move for one side and not for the other
side. It's a futures play for the other side. I like it, FP. I always joked with our boss, Matt Nahigi, and like, we should do something like this as a company where, you know, whatever, our station in Pittsburgh can send an afternoon host and we'll send them a morning host and just for like a week or
send
whatever. Just
for a week to Pittsburgh.
Yes, no doubt.
I got that idea from my son. He just tweeted and it's pretty clever that imagine if you found out you got like traded to another company on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Like you're just scrolling through Twitter and like, oh, I'm working for Salesforce now. I got traded to Salesforce.
Totally.
Can you imagine?
That would be wild. Yeah. I mean, exactly. Just thinking about the salary going with you and, you know, new management and all the rest
of
it.
And most of these guys do find out real time on Twitter before their agents call them, before they get called into the manager's office. They're just like, oh, hey, guess what? I got traded. And did you see the bullpen in Chicago, the White Sox? One of their relievers got traded. And they were
Brebbia.
They were in a circle and they were passing around like a big monster. I think it was a beer. It could have been an energy drink, but they were all in a circle passing it around and they were pouring one out for their buddy
who was gone. Just got down.
And for like the 10 other White Sox who have been traded.
During the game. Maybe they're celebrating the fact that he got out of Chicago.
Yeah. All right, we got about 7.5 minutes until the trade deadline. We got a break coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Then we'll come back, and if there's any news during the time we are at break, we'll let you know. The Giants have made a couple of moves. Yesterday, they traded Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson to the Atlanta Braves. You get back the Braves' number 17th overall prospect. He's currently in high A, 21 years old. Don't expect him to have an impact on the Giants' big league squad for a number of years if he does. As ever. Tyler Matzik, a left-handed relief pitcher. He's currently on the IL with throwing elbow inflammation. It's kind of a red flag because he had Tommy John just last year. He's 33 years old. We don't know if he's ever going to pitch for the Giants. It's essentially a salary dump. The Giants save a lot of money as the Braves take on all of the Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson contracts, which weren't cheap by any stretch of the imagination. The Giants, earlier today, they trade Alex Cobb to the Cleveland Guardians for a 19-year-old left-handed pitcher who's also currently in around single A. And they also traded Mike Bauman, who they just recently acquired. They trade him away to the Angels for cash considerations. At this point, I think we can sum up the Giants' moves as generally being financially motivated. Maybe you think the Giants are a little bit better. Maybe you think they didn't really get any worse. Maybe you think they're a little bit worse. However you label it, I'm not so sure the Giants are that different of a baseball team from yesterday to now. But it's also a little bit frustrating, Dibs, because you're in a spot where maybe you believe that this is a Giants team that can actually put a run together, and you could have supplemented that by going out and getting someone else. You traded pieces away, and I know you guys both feel like it's not the end of the world. You're not like you're going to be a whole lot worse as a result, but you're also relatively clearly not a whole lot better, in my opinion.
I don't think that you could have added anything that would make you a whole lot better without costing a lot in what you're trying to do for maybe this year and also next year, and I think that job one was to try to get below the competitive balance tax as close as you could.
And you're not there yet.
No, but you're closer. You're much closer. And if you look at the offseason and Snell and Ray, one or both, if they opt out, then you're going to be below the CBT for sure at that point.
But you'll be over this year and you lose, I think it's your second and your fifth most earliest picks in next year's draft,
right?
If you're over.
Well, that's the cost of what you did back in March and April where you decided to go for it. So you decided to go for it, and so far it hasn't worked out, but I think the moves that you've made today and the deadline now coming up here in 5 minutes and trades are still starting to trickle in, maybe they will make a big deal, but even if they don't, I feel like you haven't sacrificed your chance between now and September of still being a wild card team. The wild card is fairly wide open. You have the best rotation in the National League, and you lost Soler and you added Luciano. If that's going to be the way that move goes, for me, even if you got worse, you only got a little tiny bit worse.
We do have some major breaking news, not related to the Giants, but one of the best pitchers on the market has been traded. Let's hit the breaking news. If we got it. No, we don't. That's all right.
Breaking news.
There we go.
95.7 The Game. Breaking news.
I was closest, by the way. My sound effects were money.
Good job, FP. One of the biggest pitchers on the market has been traded to The Los Angeles Dodgers, as they acquired Jack Flaherty. Jack Flaherty previously of the Detroit Tigers. He is now a Los Angeles Dodger. Might be the biggest, one of the biggest pitchers that does get moved. Of course, Blake Snell, I think most would agree, better than Jack Flaherty. But the Dodgers make another move. They acquire Jack Flaherty. And their pitching staff suddenly gets a little bit better. Interesting move there for the Dodgers. They got one of the best pitchers on the market. We'll see if the Giants have a move to react to that. But I would not be crossing my fingers waiting for that.
Well, the move to react would not be trading Blake Snell. So, I mean, if you're going to try to react to that, the Dodgers getting a better pitching staff, even though
you trade away maybe your best pitcher?
Exactly. Even though you don't play the Dodgers again. But
what if you trade with the Dodgers for Jack Flaherty?
Yeah, there you go.
Blake Snell to the Dodgers for Jack Flaherty and like 74 prospects that the Dodgers have.
Perfect.
I love your creativity, FP. All right, we got to hit a break. We got 3 minutes left until the MLB trade deadline. Some trades could still come through a few minutes after the trade deadline. So we'll come back. We'll break down any news that we missed during the next 5 minutes, and we will put a bow on the Giants' moves for this season. All that is coming up on the other side. It's Willard and Dibs, FP and Mark Randy, alongside Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. More Willard and Dibs next on 95.7 The Game.